Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Junkyard Dogcast. I'm Jordan Hill. With me this week is Kip Adams. Kip, we are 11 days from the start of the 2022 season for Georgia. How is this day treating you?
My, what a difference a year makes. There's one thing I've learned in the last year. It's that, you can't really overcome, losing your top two playmakers, it's impossible. So a year ago, doing the same pod and, kind of thinking about Georgia's offense and not having George Pickens, not having Arik Gilbert out there, Georgia didn't stand a chance. We should have just shut it off and went home and
not even done
a pod. And then, heaven forbid your five-star quarterback, goes down. And that would have been for Georgia's season, but they still played, still went ahead and took the field. And now here we are talking about, Georgia as a defending national champions. It's been a quick year. It just feels like, I know every year goes by mathematically the same, but it just feels like we were just talking about things like that. So I don't know. I'm excited. I mean, we got college football this weekend. Vanderbilt's basically going ahead and getting that bowl game out of the way and playing at Hawaii this weekend. So congrats to the Commodores for starting their season off, with a big matchup there. And obviously Florida State's got and gets to kick off their season as well against the Duquesne Dukes, for anyone out there wondering who I was referring to there. So yeah, I mean, it's it. We're here. The season is technically here, but we get to spend some time previewing Georgia football. So, I'm excited to talk about it.
We get to bask in a little. And you said congrats to Vanderbilt. Congrats to the Vanderbilt beat riders. Get a trip to Hawaii. I hope they were able to swing that one. I don't know what that conversation was like. So, we've got a little bit before that first game, Georgia versus Oregon, obviously, in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Do we want to take some time this week? We're going to do the offense first, and then we're going to go on Thursday or Friday and do the defense, really focus position by position. So let's start on offense, obviously. This is an offense that lost six starters from last year, but bring back considerable talent. And let's start with the main position, the position that everybody loves to talk about, quarterback. Stetson Bennett is coming back. There was a few days after the national championship game, a little bit of question what his decision was going to be. He decides he's going to be back at Georgia for his super senior season. So it's a situation where he has been QB1 throughout the spring, obviously through the summer and to this point in fall camp. All signs seem to be very good from what we've heard, what we've gotten to see. Haven't had a chance to talk to Stetson during fall camp, but I think it's a situation where if you're a Georgia fan, I think it's reasonable to think that the offense can take a step forward as far as Stetson being the guy. He was kind of thrust into that position last season with JT Daniels getting hurt, like you mentioned, Kip. But I think, I've seen some people talking about, hey, man, here's his Heisman odds. Look at the, getting good value on his Heisman odds. Don't know if I would, jump on that bandwagon. But I think he really can take a step forward, have an even better season statistically than he did in 2021. Kip, what's your read on Stetson and just what we can make of this position going into a new year?
Yeah, that first full offseason with the program, I think just his overall grasp of the offense. You know, I think he is set up for progression. I think that as far as him being able to, you know, have a, know the entire playbook, but also Todd Monken have a playbook designed for him. I think, you know, as far as we don't know what his numbers are going to be like, but his quality of play, I think they're going to ask more of him. And I think he's prepared to do that. And I think that that should be, you know, an exciting aspect for fans looking at this offense, knowing that they may have to do more than they did last year. That's what you want. You want a quarterback coming back, and you want a quarterback that knows the offense, and you want a quarterback who's, you know, not really had any issues all offseason. I mean, this has been Stetson's first full offseason, knowing he's the number one quarterback. And, you know, sometimes we've seen in the past where if you're not really being pushed, you know, that could have a negative effect. That's something interesting to kind of watch. But I think as far as what we've heard and seen, I think he's done what they've asked him to do. And I think that they feel really confident having him as the number one. There's been no quarterback controversy at all this offseason. Now, you know, that first punt we see against Oregon, if they do punt, I'm sure, you know, we'll all be prepared for the quarterback controversy to be brought up, you know, on the internet, on the junkyard for sure. But as of right now, they feel really good about the situation. And, you know, I think Stetson's been set up to have a big year. Will he be a top five quarterback in the SEC? I think he can be, and he's got the weapons around him to do that.
Yeah, it was interesting just talking to Stetson back at Media Days and also getting Todd Monken's perspective. You know, I asked Todd if he felt like, you know, that Stetson had kind of maximized this offseason in terms of being that QB1. And the thing that I was really struck by with what Monken said was, you know, being on the same page with the receivers and understanding and being able to relay basically what Todd wants the offense to look like, you know, going through Stetson and making sure that everybody involved understands, you know, what is expected on a particular play, which made a lot of sense to me. And obviously Stetson has grown in that way and is expected to do a lot. Before we move on from quarterback, let's talk a little bit about the battle behind Stetson. I got to admit, I was a little surprised coming out for that second scrimmage. The most questions we got or that Kirby was asked was about the backup quarterback. I was like, okay, if this is how some of the people want to spend their time, okay. But, you know, it's Carson Beck and Brock Vandegrift have basically been the two. You know, Gunnar Stockton has impressed from what we've heard, but true freshman, obviously still learning the ropes. Don't think it was necessarily fair to expect him to immediately come in and battle for that QB2 job. You're going to find this hard to believe, Kip, but Kirby didn't really show his hand when it came to the quarterbacks. I know it's very unlike a head football coach to do something like that, but talked really highly of both guys, Carson Beck and Brock Vandegrift. We've heard positive results and positive feedback on what Brock has done, the strides he's made in another year in the system. Not really clear who it is, but I still think it's Carson Beck. I think that he, having the additional experience compared to Brock, having another year under his belt, I would think that Carson is at QB2. But I think if you're a Georgia fan and you're kind of wondering about who's behind Stetson, even if it's, you know, Carson or Brock, I think they should feel really good just about where this room is. And you know, you don't want to think about if someone gets hurt, but obviously we're coming off a season, really two seasons in a row, where Georgia has had their quarterback get hurt. And it's important to have that depth behind the number one guy.
Yeah, I think as far as the backup quarterback position, it, you know, all we can do is kind of really speculate on what the true order will be and who's better prepared. Because, yeah, the last couple of seasons have showed us that original order, the depth chart quarterback, it gets changed real quickly whenever, you know, live bullets are being fired and they're out there on the field. I mean, we saw Dwan Mathis, the starter, you know, to open the season in 2020. And then, you know, multiple changes after that as well. And then, you know, Carson Beck, you know, some people thought he was going to start going into the UAB game. And that obviously also didn't happen. So, yeah, Kirby keeps that information top secret as best he can. But then also, I don't think they're going to know until they actually play, you know, opponents and see how they actually play against somebody else right now. So the one positive you could take is that, you know, if Stetson Bennett's not getting, you know, really pushed by the backups, they're pushing each other. And so if Brock Vandegrift and Carson Beck are neck and neck, and then you take that iron sharpens iron aspect to it, approach to it, and think that, you know, they're pushing each other. So they're going to come out of that, both of them being better quarterbacks and better prepared if their name is called. What that will mean for Georgia, if their name happens to be called for a long period of time, I mean, that's a true X factor for the season, but that's true for a lot of teams. You know, you look at the best teams around the country. We don't know a lot about the backup quarterbacks at other programs as well. So I wouldn't really take that as a negative, but I know that fans are itching to see who the next quarterback will be for Georgia. I'm not exactly sure we'll see a lot of it until next spring.
As some of the questions, Jacob Hudson said, how's Gunner looking as a young QB? I think he's done a really good job. I mean, I think that he's shown them what he can bring to the table, but I think they understand the expectations. They're not going to put too much on a true freshman. They're not going to ask him to do more than is necessary. And again, they've got depth in front of him, so I think it's a good opportunity for him to grow. Curtis Maximus, 51, said, how many seasons has Kirby had one QB throughout? I mean, you'd have to go back to Jake Fromm, right? I guess that would have been, what, 2018 or 2019?
Those 2 years, yeah. And then also Curtis Maximus, I'm going to take a wild guess and say he does not care for Auburn.
I saw that. His
first comment about he likes driving his truck. Good call there, Curtis Maximus.
Well, anytime we get Squidbillies on here, we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're right, but that's college football. I mean, like, injuries happen at a lot of positions. And Georgia, I mean, they've had their fair share of quarterback injuries. Just going back to Jacob Eason, you know, that's kind of how you know, it all began for Jake Fromm's time at Georgia. So yeah, you have to be prepared for something like that. But I don't think you could really predict what's going to happen at that position as far as injuries are concerned. But this is why you recruit five-star quarterbacks there, and I think Georgia's done a good job kind of stockpiling that roster for the future, if not the present.
All right, let's move on and go to running back. It's been a position that was talked about throughout the weekend, albeit not for the best of news. But starting right at the top of the depth chart and kind of working our way around, Kenny McIntosh may be the guy we've heard the most about of any player this fall camp. He's done a very good job. I think he's that clear running back one for Georgia going into this year. Kendall Milton has been a guy that has shown flashes in the past. He's been dealing with a hamstring issue and has not been in those last two scrimmages. So obviously that's something to keep in mind as we go into the season. Dejon Edwards, he might kind of be the wild card of this entire room because of what he might be able to bring to the table. I've seen a few people call him the human victory cigar because he got in on some of those games, those blowouts Georgia had last year. And then at this point, it's Branson Robinson, the true freshman, with the news that fellow freshman Andrew Paul has torn his ACL. Those are the scholarship guys. And I've also mentioned in a story the other day, Savon Clark is one of the walk-ons. I think if they really needed someone to step up, he would be that other guy. You know, obviously that's a huge hit to depth to lose Andrew Paul, especially from everything we had heard and some of the stuff we had seen. It kind of seemed like Andrew Paul had a little bit of an edge on Branson Robinson among the true freshmen, what they've been able to do, how they were going through fall camp. But they really need these guys to step up. I think it's imperative that they get Kendall Milton healthy before this season, which even really makes me kind of wonder what his workload is going to look like against Oregon, because obviously long season to have already lost one of your running backs before the season is huge. But I think this room has talent. I've been very impressed with what I've seen and what I've heard about Kenny McIntosh, because you knew having to replace their top two running backs from last year in Zamir White and James Cook, they needed guys to step up based on everything that we've seen, what Del McGee has told us, what Kirby Smart has told us. It really seems like Kenny has risen to the occasion, and I think that's huge. I think that having those expectations, especially being a running back at Georgia, it's a lot, but I think Kenny is ready to really excel in that role, and I think it's going to be very worthwhile for this offense to have a guy of his ability being that top running back.
Yeah, I think he's really set up for a breakout season. And I mean, just look at James Cook, his first, 3 years at Georgia. It was one of those, like, you know, he's underutilized. When are they going to figure out how to, you know, take advantage of his ability to make plays of the ball? And then last year, you kind of saw it all come to fruition. And, you know, Todd Monken really kind of, unleashed his full potential. And with Kenny McIntosh, he's just been behind some really talented guys on the roster. And he's got that, you know, he's got that same talent as far as just being a complete back. And he may have better hands than James Cook. You know, he might not be a guy that, I mean, you never know with Georgia's strength and conditioning program, but he might not be a guy that runs a sub 4.4 at the combine, but at the same time, I think he's a guy that can really do it all. And it makes Georgia more unpredictable when you have a guy like Kenny McIntosh. The one thing with James Cook, when he came in early on, he kind of knew, you know, is he in motion? You know, are they going to run him outside? Are they just going to throw him the ball when he's on the field? But with Kenny McIntosh, he can make defenders miss in one-on-one situations. And can, I mean, again, outstanding receiver as well. You have a guy like that in the field, it makes you, I mean, two-dimensional as far as what you can do with him with the other playmakers you have in the field. So if you, I say this a lot, if you can be unpredictable, that's an offensive coordinator's best friend. Defensive coordinator really too. If you can be unpredictable, then, you know, it gives you the ability to kind of pull whatever you want, and the defense will not be able to move as quickly because they can't anticipate. And I think Kenny McIntosh is really set up to be that kind of guy for Georgia, a guy that they can have all three downs on the field, a guy that, I mean, they're not going to really feed. I don't know if Kirby Smart's going to want to give a running back 30 carries a game, you know, and be that kind of guy, but he can get over 20 touches a game and really be a dynamic playmaker for Georgia. So I think he's set up really well, and I think it bodes really well just how much praise he's been getting in fall camp. That's what you want. You want a guy to kind of stand out and be that guy who can be your feature back. Georgia, it's one thing. Georgia has had multiple guys who are really good, but it's really been a rotation. They've had multiple, not hands to feed, but just multiple guys with talent. If Kenny McIntosh is the true number one, then, I mean, he could become a star, one of the best running backs in the country, and really, you know, put himself on the map. And I think that would probably bode well for a Georgia offense that, you know, is projected to really be prolific this season.
Yeah, and I think it's got to be promising too, just with these coaches. These guys have never been one to give people good feedback or praise people that haven't earned it. I mean, I've heard, you know, even going back to when I was a student covering Georgia, you know, you would kind of ask Kirby about a guy, you know, working on a feature or something, hoping he would say something positive, and he would just shoot you straight and be like, hey, he needs to do this, this, and this. I mean, it's been nothing but positive when it comes to Kenny McIntosh, and I think that should make you excited if you're a Georgia fan for what this run game can be with him, and also his ability in the passing game. I think that's going to be huge. We're going to take a quick break. Before we do that, I want to thank everybody that's watching on Facebook Live and recommend everyone to go to our YouTube channel, Dogs247. Go subscribe. If you look in the comments on this video, you can see the link to do that. We would really greatly appreciate if you go subscribe. All kinds of good stuff on that YouTube channel. So we're going to take a quick break, then come back, talk receivers, talk tight ends, talk offensive line as we get ready for 2022.
What if I told you imaginary friends are real?
This is just so exciting.
Now, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount Plus, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, we're going to jump back on the offense preview and probably talk about what is the most crucial, in my opinion, group for this team, and it's the offensive line. It's a group that we've had questions about going back to spring practice when they were replacing two starters. It's kind of still up in the air, Kip, and I kind of feel like it's very funny. We got the email earlier this morning just about availability for tonight, and we're talking to Tate Ratledge, and Tate is kind of the biggest question mark for me. Been dealing with turf toe, has not been in the last two scrimmages. I mean, I hate to read too much into any of this stuff, but the fact we're getting to talk to him seems pretty good, not only about his role, but more so just his availability. I mean, the fact that they have kind of had to take it easy with him. To me, if everything was, you know, 100% health and everything was good to go, he's that starting right guard. And there's still kind of the question at left guard. It seems like it's either going to be Devin Willick or Xavier Truss. We had seen Devin Willick work there early in fall camp. Xavier Truss was a guy during that first scrimmage. Other than that, I think the rest of the offensive line is kind of set. Broderick Jones at left tackle. Obviously, we saw him play a good bit there last year and obviously came in the national championship game. Again, question at left guard. Cedric Van Pran, the center, obviously has done a very good job of establishing himself. Thought it spoke really highly of him that they send him to Atlanta for media days. You know, you're kind of a guy that they trust and won't. To have a chance to talk to everybody. Tate Ratledge, you know, we've seen Jared Wilson, a redshirt freshman, work there as well, while Tate has dealt with turf toe. Kind of to be decided when it comes to that, and very intrigued to hear what Tate has to say tonight. And then Warren McClendon, kind of the silent guy that has just continued to be reliable, be a guy that they can count on and has done a very good job in that role. Kip, what do you think of this offensive line? Whether it be the battles that really seem to still be going on at guard or some of the more established guys we see on this line?
I think you really have to like where things are setting up right now. Anytime you can bring back three guys that should be all conference players when all is said and done, that bodes really well. And I think, I don't think George is going to send Tate Ratledge out there, you know, for no reason at all. I don't think Kirby does anything, you know, by circumstance or coincidence. And Rusty kind of pointed out on the junkyard earlier that, you know, that Tate was probably going to be set to return this week, but that they're also just trying to take it slow with him. I mean, you want him for the long haul, you want him for the whole season. So if you have, you know, if Ron Corson has any doubt whatsoever on his availability, then they're going to hold him off as long as they can. But if he's talking to the media, it does bode well. And yeah, you know, he's the guy we all said. If he's in that offensive line, then they're probably set up to be really, really good. As far as that left guard is concerned, you know, I think it's more of this them trying to get as many looks as they can to give both Truss and Willick a chance to show what they can do. I think that's a true competition right there. So, you know, I don't think you can really give one guy, I mean, maybe Xavier Truss a little bit of an edge, but I think it's pretty close to that position. And Cedric Van Pran's kind of that underrated part of the line. If we're talking about potentially two new guys starting at guard, who else do you want to have coming back than a guy like Cedric Van Pran at center who can know all the plays and make sure he gets both of his guards in the right position to make sure they're set up for success? So, you know, regardless, both guards are going to have a guy on both sides of them, you know, returning starter. They're gonna, you know, if they need to look at Broderick Jones, you know, he started last year, he'll be able to, you know, make sure that Xavier Truss is set up well. Obviously Warren McClendon, anytime you get a guy out of Glynn County, I should know, I mean, you're gonna get a guy that's you know, high IQ and a guy who you know, is really going to perform better than expectations, but better than anyone thinks. If you're not hearing Warren McClendon's name all season, it's because he did his job. And I think that's the way it's been for him. It was him for what was for him last season. He's not looking to be an all, you know, get a bunch of awards, being all American. He's just going out there and trying to get his job done. I think he's done so at a high level. So you really have to like where this offensive line is. And then, you know, Amarius Mims coming in and getting locked in and prepared to potentially be that third offensive tackle. We talked about Ernest Green, the true freshman, a little banged up, but a guy that coming along quickly. But if you could have Amarius Mims as your swing tackle, that's really good depth, and that's really something that Georgia has right now on the offensive line that they really haven't had really ever. I mean, a guy like Warren Erickson is backing you up at center guard, and you know, if Jared Wilson's also backing you up at center and right guard, those are really, really good players, and I think that's really, really positive for Georgia. That's why they're trying to give as many guys looks as they can, because they know it's a long season, and they want to have multiple guys prepared for success. And I really think what we've heard so far, it's been really, really positive. I think this offensive line is set up to be, we can't say best ever because it's just a lot of expectations, but I think on paper, it's as good as I've ever seen at Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've kind of gotten that feel, even going through fall camp when Kirby Smart has talked about the guards, you know, because that's really the battle that has been at the forefront, especially with offensive line. They feel good about their options. I don't think that there's one guy in that conversation where if it has to be that guy, they're like, oh, man. You know, I think they like their options. It's just a matter of figuring out who fits best with the other linemen. So I think that's a positive sign. I think they know they've got talent there. I saw Jordan Harris, who, again, thanks, Jordan, for watching. I think he is always on these. He said, go ahead and ask him this evening what's up with his toe, talking about Tate. Don't worry. That'll be like the first question, the second question, the sixth question. They know what's coming with Tate. I'm sure he's going to give us a heads up on what's going on. I think they feel good about offensive line. It will be interesting, really, to see if Tate's ready to go, because I think if he is, that right guard position is probably going to be his. And then between Truss and Willick. And obviously, these battles could go into the season, so it's going to be something to watch. Let's switch to wide receiver, another position where we have a pretty good feel, I think, of who's going to be the top guys, but a lot of names and a lot of guys that I think are in position to step up and play significant roles. You know, I feel like those top three guys, as we've talked about before, Adonai Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, Garris Jackson, those seem to be the three guys that have kind of stood out from the pack, but a lot of guys who have really risen to the occasion. Don Blaylock, a guy that, you know, has been through some really tough times, had two knee injuries to the same knee, has played well. Kirby pointed out that he had a good catch in that scrimmage, the second scrimmage on Saturday. You've got some of the young guys. Dylan Bell's a guy we've heard a lot about, and I've pointed out in a few of my practice reports, just looking at him, not so much what he's doing. That dude is built like an SEC receiver. How much he plays right away, it's hard to say. You know, there are so many different options they have. Jackson Meeks, Marcus Rosemi, Jack Saint. They've got guys that I think can play significant roles, even with losing a guy like Arian Smith, who I think is a significant loss just because of his speed. And I think they would have worked to really get those guys involved. But what do you think about what this receiver room looks like, what they're bringing to the table, and if any of those guys in particular really stand out to you as we get ready for the year?
I think even with some guys banged up, I think they've shown that they've built a little bit of depth there. So I think Georgia's set up pretty well to continue rotating guys in. If I'm looking at you know, obviously the alpha in the room right now will be A.D. Mitchell. I think he's a guy that will probably be, a top three playmaker overall in Georgia's offense. If I got Kenny McIntosh as Georgia's, I guess, bell cow and feature guy in their offense, I think A.D. Mitchell's probably right there after him. And I know we're going to talk about the tight end position a little bit, but I do think A.D. Mitchell, and all is said and done, will be that number two guy in this offense this season. I think he's set up well for it. I think you saw the confidence build last year and his ability to improve is, you know, not catching with his body, catching with his hands and using that catch radius to beat some pretty good DBs, especially in the playoffs. So I do think that he's set up for success. And I think you mentioned, a lot of guys. I think Don Blaylock's that next guy for me. I think he's a guy that just his ability to play any wide receiver position, they're going to need that. You know, whether they, you know, if you have Kyrus Jackson banged up, you know, different guys banged up, Don Blaylock is shown that, you know, he can do pretty much anything you ask him out there. And I think Todd Monken's going to utilize that. I think he loved what he had in him before the injury and now, you know, healthy again. I think he is going to really showcase what he can do. That's the type of guy that Todd Monken really, really showcases in his offense. So I think Dominic Blaylock set up really well. And then after that, he got Ladd McConkey, Kyrus Jackson as guys that'll probably play a lot of snaps and be able to make plays when they need him to. And I think Jackson Meeks is that guy that you mentioned that, you know, if you're looking for a guy that could maybe not getting talked about a lot, but can end up being top five among receivers throughout the season, I think he's that guy. I don't know if the lights come on yet, you know, for him completely, but he always shows flashes and he has the ability to really make a lot of plays. So, you know, we haven't even really talked about, you know, the true freshman coming in, like you said, with Dylan Bell. I think they're set up really well to have a lot of playmakers rotate in and out. But I think at the top, their top four or five guys, I think it's a really strong group and one that I think Stetson Bennett's going to depend on a lot this year.
I think they're in good shape, and it's going to be very interesting just to see some of the rotations, who gets in. And again, this will be a good transition to tight ends. You know, those receivers, Kirby Smart said it at the first day of fall camp, they're kind of competing with the tight ends. Some of those guys, you know, understand that there's going to be situations where they could get multi-tight ends out there. Well, if they do that, you know, that's going to mean some of those receivers are watching from the sideline. Let's talk about tight end. The book is out on these tight ends. This might be the deepest tight end room, might be the deepest individual position group in the country. I think you could make that argument. Having Brock Bowers, Eric Gilbert, Darnell Washington, and again, the guy that it kind of feels like people forget about, Oscar Delp, the freshman, who was, oh, by the way, just a four-star. You know, having him, having Brett Scyther, also Rylan Godey, they have a lot of options. Obviously, it really seems like those top three are Bowers, Gilbert, and Darnell Washington. What do you make of just what this tight end room can mean for Georgia, what it brings to this offense, and really how Stetson Bennett can make the most of these guys and what their roles can be?
They can really do whatever they want with these guys. I mean, there's the playbook that I can't imagine what Todd Monken is dialing up and ready to unleash this year. But that group, we haven't seen a position group like that. I don't know about, you know, I'm not a college football historian. I can't pull back and say that, you know, there's been a group that's had like three first rounders on the roster at one time or anything like that. But this group, we haven't seen a group like that in a long time. And if I'm calling A.D. Mitchell number two, I'm obviously calling Brock Bowers number three. I think that, you know, defenses are probably going to make sure that they double him up anytime they can, but he's still going to get his. He showed that at the end of the year. You know, every team lined up trying to stop him, and he still beat them over and over again, you know, in the college football playoffs. So you have a guy like him, and if I'm ranking my playmakers, I got Darnell Washington number four, and I got Gilbert number five. So three through five, you know, as much as I love what Dom Blaylock's bringing to the offense, and I think he could be the number two receiver, I think tight ends are probably three through five as far as what Georgia is going to utilize this year. Why wouldn't they? I mean, as much as you want them to line up five wide and just, you know, air raid offense, they're going to line up with those tight ends all over the field. They're not inline blockers. I mean, Darnell can you know, block with the best of them, but that's a guy that you want going over the middle across the field and being 6'7" and a half, 280 pounds of just pure mismatch. And obviously Gilbert, you know, he's got just a very rare combination, you know, 6'5", 240, 245 pounds. Those guys are very uncommon as well. So you got those three guys, you move them around pre-snap, you confuse the defense. And then, you know that Stetson Bennett can chunk it to any one of those three, and a big play is probably, you know, going to happen. So I think it's just very unique. I haven't really seen anything like it. And I think you put those guys with the other, you know, the receivers and the running backs that Georgia has, it just gives you so much to work with. And, you know, once, you know, Gilbert gets out in the field and plays a snap for Georgia, you know, in an actual game, then they'll be able to say that they have, you know, three NFL guys, you know, out there on the field. And obviously Oscar Delp, he might not be in my top eight right now, but I think by the end of the year, he's going to be a guy that you know, they might have to put him out there with the wide receivers just to get him some snaps because he's just too talented. He's a pass catcher that's just really, really tough to defend as well, and probably another future NFL guy down the road.
When we had a chance to talk to Darnell Washington during fall camp, he said what I think pretty much sums up that position group, those tight ends. He was asked to describe those tight ends, and he said one word, and it was mismatch. And that's just kind of how it is. And, you know, I was kind of struck, you know, a few weeks ago when we talked to Todd Monken. He was asked about the fact Georgia has not had a 1,000-yard receiver since 2002. And you think about this group, and I think that this is more of a positive than a negative. I don't think that's going to happen because I think they're going to get the ball out to a lot of different guys. I think they understand that they don't have to rely on one guy. They do not have to count on one guy to be the number one pass catcher. And if we can't get the ball to this guy, then it's just not happening and we're in trouble. I think they're going to be able to spread the ball around effectively. And again, you know, people love numbers and people love to see, you know, if that were to happen, if Georgia was finally able to break that streak since it's been so long. But I think they're in good shape as far as being able to count on multiple guys and not have to rely on just one guy specifically in the passing game as they get ready for a new year. Kip, before we wrap up this episode, talking about the offense, focusing on the offense, are there any big questions that really stand out to you, things you want to see, things you're more interested in? I can kind of open with what I'm really intrigued by, and it's just how this offensive line comes together. Not so much who's starting. We kind of talked about that, some of the competitions. But, you know, these guys all have to be on the same page, and we know that through fall camp there's been different combinations and they've worked with different guys. But what does that look like early on? You know, Georgia walks into a situation in that first game with Oregon. They're going to play the 11th-ranked team in the nation and a team that's got a really good defense. How do they sort of handle these early tests? How does this offensive line kind of meld and get on the same page together? I think that's really my biggest question with this offense. And then just generally, who sort of breaks out at receiver behind those top three guys we talked about? Gearis, A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkie. What are some of the big questions you have just about this offense in general going into 2022?
Can Kendall Milton stay healthy?
Yeah.
That's a question for me is, you know, we're talking about depth of positions and we talk about the running back position. And I mentioned that, you know, maybe Kenny McIntosh is the feature back this year, but you know, when he needs a breather or if maybe he's banged up, who is next at that position? Who is that next guy? And I mean, if it's, you know, if it's Dejon Edwards, you know, he's a guy that has really done well when he's on the field, but usually when he's on the field, there's some backups on the field. It's usually, you know, at least for Georgia's offense, there's some times that the opponents still have their starters in because they're trying to get the ball back and try to score a touchdown on Georgia's defense so that they can have that touchdown to, you know, to kind of hang in their hat. And so he's gone against probably some starters on defense, but it hasn't been in key situations when they really needed a big play for him. Can he be that guy? That's kind of a question mark for me. We still haven't really seen what Kendall Milton can do. And, you know, here we are, he's been here a couple of years and a guy that came in with a lot of fanfare. And so I want to see what he's capable of. And then also, yeah, like you said, on the offensive line, Tate Ratledge, I want to see him in a game and see him, you know, that injury was real tough, you know, not being able to finish the opener last year. If he comes back this week and he's ready to go, seeing what he brings to the table for the offensive line, because he's just one of those guys that is different. And when he's on the field, I mean, he's noticeable in the way that he finishes his blocks, his overall athleticism and strength. And so we talked about three guys that we feel really good about. If he's on the field, then that should mean Georgia's got four of those guys. It should be able to take that offensive line to another level. So that's kind of, it's just the guys that have been injured in the past coming back healthy. That's kind of that going into the opener. That's what I want to see. Just knowing that teams aren't healthy. Teams don't stay healthy the whole year, but these are guys that Georgia probably needs if they want to, you know, fulfill their potential and kind of get back to the playoffs and compete for championships again.
Curtis Maximus 51 asked about, when we're talking about the tight end, ceiling higher for Bowers or Eric Gilbert. Eric Gilbert was unstoppable in high school. I think the ceiling would be higher for Eric Gilbert, but it's just a matter of, you know, we don't really know. We haven't gotten to see him go through a season. Kind of to the same point you just made, Kip, about Tate Ratledge, I want to see Eric Gilbert on the field. You know, I want to see how he handles this season because, you know, I think Brock's a very talented guy, but it was funny when we got a chance to talk to Brock Bowers for the first time, I was looking at him and I was like, you know, he's not really quite as big as I sort of thought he was. You look at Eric Gilbert, that's not the case. He is a humongous human being. And that sort of, when they've talked about these tight ends, you know, they've talked about Brock is sort of that receiving threat who's got speed. Darnell Washington, obviously 6'7", humongous guy who also can catch the ball. And then Eric Gilbert's kind of a mix of both of them. I think that that is sort of what answers my question. I think his ability to do both makes him a very intriguing guy. But again, if you know, if you were asking me who I think will be the top receiver, top pass catcher, it's still going to be Brock. But what Eric brings to the table, I think, is really promising. If you're talking about really focusing on a ceiling, I feel like he's kind of got it over Bowers.
Quick question for you then. I know that, you know, we're not really trying to predict anything right now, but we're talking about receivers and pass catchers for Georgia. Brock Bowers, A.D. Mitchell, who has more receiving yards at the end of the year?
I'm going to give the edge to Bowers. I just think we saw what they did last year and understanding that mismatch. But I don't think it's going to be drastic between the two. I mean, I think it's those two are going to be those top pass catchers. But what would your answer be? I think I would go with Brock, but where would you go between the two?
I think A.D. Mitchell is going to be that guy that's a true number one receiver for Georgia. And I just think that the amount of attention that Bowers is going to receive this year is going to probably put Georgia in situations where they can't help but look A.D. Mitchell's way, because I think they're going to bracket Bowers any chance they get. And they're going to hope that A.D. Mitchell, you know, his hands, if he has, you know, once in a while he'd have a drop last year. I think they're going to hope that he continues to do that. But if he doesn't, I mean, they're really not going to have a choice. If they're going one-on-one with him down the field, I think he's going to be set up to make big plays. Maybe, you know, Bowers is probably overall the more talented guy and the guy that's got that NFL future. I think he'd be a first-rounder right now. But I think A.D. Mitchell statistically could be that guy that's pushing for 800, 900 yards, maybe at the end of the regular season. And, you know, maybe Monken gets his 1,000-yard receiver for Georgia. I think A.D. Mitchell definitely has a chance to be that guy this year.
Before we wrap this up, Kip, while we were recording, news out of Alabama that Nick Saban has been approved for an 8-year, $93.6 million deal through 2030. What that means, as far as while we're bringing it up, that means he has passed Kirby Smart as far as the highest paid coaches in college football. Any thoughts on that? I got to say, I'm not very surprised. I mean, I think that both these coaches have earned those paychecks, and not a surprise. I mean, Nick Saban has got, you know, he's got the greatest resume in college football history. I'd say it's kind of hard to argue. And I'd say those two guys are both feeling pretty good about their situations going into a new year.
Man, Jimmy Sexton, he got Kirby that contract and he just couldn't help himself. He had to call his other buddy, Nick Saban, and say, you know, I got you next. Who would have thought that was going to happen with a couple of Jimmy Sexton clients? So I guess Saban is now set up to coach until he's 78. That's incredible. I think every year it's the this is going to be his last year, but I just don't see it. I think he's as long as he is physically able to coach, he's going to do it. And I am not surprised at all. As soon as Kirby got his contract, the negotiations had already started, and I would imagine they were pretty quick for Nick Saban to get his new contract extension. I think that's just part of it. So, you know, now Kirby Smart can set his goal of, you know, if you beat Saban again, you get to go back and renegotiate another 2 years at the end of your deal. I think that's how this works now. So yeah, congrats to Nick Saban. He's the GOAT. And, you know, I think it was, you know, there was no debate on whether or not this was going to happen. So congrats to him and congrats to the both of them. I think they've had a pretty good off season.
My only question would be, man, Kip, could you imagine what that number would have been had Alabama's top receivers stayed healthy in that championship game?
Yeah, I think we're looking at an $11 million salary at least, you know, but, you can't overcome things like that. Like I said, that's the one thing you can't overcome is not having your top two playmakers. I guess it doesn't matter if you're going into the season without them. It only matters in the last game.
Right, right. Well, we're going to wrap it up at that. Appreciate everybody watching. Appreciate everybody listening and asking questions. We'll have another episode. I think we're shooting for Thursday to do the defense, basically the same thing we did today, go through position by position. And appreciate you guys asking questions. Appreciate you guys tuning in and letting us know what you want to hear, because this is all for you guys. Appreciate you guys' support, letting us know that you're watching. Be sure to go subscribe. Again, go to the YouTube channel, Dogs247, and get all signed up so you can follow all these videos. So we're going to get out of here on that. Thanks again to Kip for taking some time to pop on here with me. Appreciate everybody watching and listening. Make sure and go subscribe. And on that note, we're out of here. Until next time, take care.
Go Braves.
The time has come for drag queens to save the world.
RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars is back on Paramount Plus, and for the first time ever,
I want you to use your talent for good, for a change.
8 iconic queens are competing for the charity of their choice.
This is how you do drag.
Who will slay it forward, win cash for their favorite cause, and a coveted spot in the Drag Race Hall of Fame. RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, new season now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.